I want us to pray as we get into God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for this Sunday. Thank you that you are faithful in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tests, in the midst of our problems, temptations, pain. We thank you, Lord, because we have a God who is faithful. We commit to you this time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap. And so we are still on our series, Driven by a Dream. Okay? How many of you here have dreams? Okay. How many of you have dreams? What about the others? Okay. You know, sabi ko nga, one of the most natural things for every human being is for us to have a dream. In fact, this is something that you don't even have to be taught. There are a lot of things in life that you need to be told. You need to be taught how to do this, how to do that. But if there's one thing that is so natural for every one of us, even as kids, it is our capacity, it is our ability to dream. Okay? To prove this, you remember, okay, when we were kids, no, one of the most natural things for us to say is, paglaki ko, I want to be. Right? Have you ever said those words? Okay. Have you ever observed young kids, boys and girls, no, that they say about the things that they want to do, the places that they want to reach or they want to be at a particular level in their lives? And why is that? Because everyone, all of us, is a dreamer. Okay? The problem is this sometimes, no? Okay? We were born dreamers. Everyone has a dream. But at a certain level of our lives, sometimes there's this tendency for us to give up on our dreams. Especially when parang our dreams seem to be, no, unreachable. Okay? But I want to tell you this, no? There is a path to our dreams. We need to be driven by dreams. I cannot imagine a life that has no dreams, or I cannot imagine a life that has basically given up on the idea that their dreams, their desires, their ambitions, no, can still happen. Okay? A person without dreams is a life that is unexciting. No? Now, this is, I believe, the fourth part or the third part of our series? Okay? And if we are to reach our dreams, I believe that there are certain things that we need to accomplish. Okay? If I were to give a title to today's message, it's going to be character formation. No, not dream formation. Okay? Character formation. Okay? I already corrected this. No, it's not. Character formation. Okay. What did I wait? Nabago na naman eh. Wait. Okay. Dream preparation. That's it. No, not okay. Character formation, dream preparation. Okay. The dream is constant. The dream is always there. But sometimes we need to understand that we need to be qualified in order to reach the dreams that God has placed in our hearts. Okay? It's one thing to have a dream. It's another to actually qualify for it. No? Let me start off with a verse. In Psalms 105, verse 19. Check this out. There's this amazing verse that talks about the life of one of the most interesting characters in the Bible, the life of Joseph, who is actually called the dreamer. Okay? Psalm 105, verse 19. Let's read this. Okay? Until the time... Sige, can you read this with me? 1, 2, 3, go. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Is it there? Put it up. Come on, guys. Okay. Maghang? Technical problems? I'm having it too. It's okay. So anyway, go to your Bibles. Turn to 105, Psalm 105, verse. Oh, it's there. Okay, let's read this all together. 1, 2, 3, go. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Now, I realized something very amazing about that verse, no? That dreams is directly related to one's character. Okay? Until the dreams were fulfilled in the life of Joseph, what did God do? He tested his character. If you're going to reach your dreams, okay, you might want to focus now on your character. Ano ibig sabihin ng character? Character yung pagkatao natin. I remember a couple of weeks ago, we were in Singapore to attend IDMC 2019, no? Intentional Disciple Making Church Conference, which was hosted by Reverend Edmund Chan. And in the first topic, it was entitled Mission and Mandate, okay? Or Mandate and Mission. Okay? Now, you need to understand something about every one of us. Every one of us has a mission. Sabihin mo sa katabi mo, you have a mission. Hey, yes, you have a mission. We are placed in this earth, in this world, for a reason, for a purpose. No, that's what we have always been saying, telling everyone here at Destiny, that you have a destiny, you have a mission. Okay? On a general level, every one of us, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, as a follower in Christ, we are given a mission by God, which is what? Basically, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Okay? Sabi doon, therefore, all authority has been given me. Okay? All authority has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We have a mission, which is what? To actually go and tell the world, tell everyone about Jesus and make disciples, make everyone a follower of Jesus. No? That is the mission. That is your mission. Are you there? No one is exempted from that mission that Jesus has given us. But then again, there is what you call a mandate. And sometimes, in our busyness, in our desire to fulfill our mission, we totally forget or neglect the mandate. What is the mandate? It's to become Christ-like. Okay? Are you there? To become more like Jesus, to follow Jesus in his ways, to become Christ-like. No, that is the mandate. At the same time, we need to fulfill our mission. Okay? It has something to do about being, about becoming as we reach forward towards our dreams. Are you there? That's why when you talk about, when you talk about Joseph, one of the things that clearly the Lord did in his life was form his character. He cannot just simply bring Joseph to where his dreams are. Something has to happen to Joseph. Are you there? Okay. Just to give you a timeline, for those of you who are not familiar with the story of Joseph, sabi ko nga, he is one of the most interesting characters in the Bible. Okay. The story of Joseph can be found in Genesis. Joseph was actually the son of one of the sons of Jacob. He was the 11th son. Okay, and what is interesting about him, though being the 11th son, he happened to be the most favorite son of his father Jacob. No, can you flash the timeline of Joseph's life? Okay, can you put it up? So here we have a timeline of Joseph's life. No, his story starts in Genesis chapter 37. So makikita niyo doon here at the far left corner. No, sabi diyan, Joseph is born, okay, as the 11th son of a great man named Jacob. Now, Joseph's father favors him and gives him a special robe. Okay, so as Joseph grew, apparently he ends up becoming the favorite son of his father. Okay? And there's this occasion whereby binigyan daw siya ng kakaibang klaseng damit, a robe of many colors. Now, The other sons were not given that kind of rope. Only Joseph. That shows that yun nga, he was basically the favorite son. Now you might think that, that would have placed Joseph at a very good position in life. But unfortunately, the blessing also became a curse. Bakit? Kasi nga, since he was the favorite son, all his other siblings, all his other brothers hated him. Okay? Nainggit sa kanya, sabi dyan, the third point there, his brothers get jealous of the special attention he gets from his dad. Okay? Now, to make matters worse, eto na, this is the reason why Joseph is called Joseph the Dreamer. One night, as he falls asleep, he has a dream. Okay? Now, apparently Joseph's literal dream in his sleep is also the dream, the destiny, the plan that God has for him. Are you there? Okay? Sana nga, how I wish that, that our dreams are revealed to us in some familiar fashion. Maybe for some of you, it does. But sometimes, how many of you, most of your dreams are just, crazy, stupid things that you see, right? But apparently for Joseph, he has this gift of literally seeing the future through his dreams. It was more of a prophecy than just a dream about things. Eh? So, Joseph dreams. Now, in his dream, what happens? He dreams that one day, his brothers would all bow down to him. Now, that may seem to be a very interesting dream, pero let me also explain to you the context of that. Noong mga panahong yun, people, the culture at that time, put a lot of value to those who were born eldest. Okay? In other words, pag pinanganak kang bunso, okay, the natural way of things is that the younger serves the older. There is no way that a younger person will be served by their kuyas or their ates. Okay? That was the culture at that time. And so when Joseph has this dream and he actually tells the dream to his brothers, that dream got him into all the more trouble. Galit na nga sa kanya yung mga kapatid niya. It even made matters worse because he tells the dream and all his brothers reacted, "How arrogant of you. Ang yabang mo. Are you telling us?" That's actually what in the Bible. All the brothers of Joseph were telling him, "Are you telling us that one day we're going to bow down before you and serve you? How dare you? How arrogant? How prideful of you? You might be the favorite son of dad, but there's no way we're going to bow down and serve. Yabang nito, kapal na mukha." So now you need to understand, Joseph, I'm not even sure whether when he shared that dream, he was actually prideful. Maybe he was just simply sharing it because he actually dreamt about it. Think about this. That dream was not even something that he wanted. It was something that was given him. So take note that you cannot even fault Joseph for dati. It was not just an ambition. Hindi niya hiningi, hindi niya pinangarap eh. Nagkataon na napanaginipan niya talaga yon. Eh? Tama ba? So all he was doing was actually sharing what he actually dreamt. But that got him into trouble. So what happens next? Sabi dito, okay, here, the brothers throw him into a ditch, threw him actually into a well for dead. They wanted to kill him. When they had opportunity, one day, Joseph was sent by his dad to check out his brothers who were what? Who were taking care of the sheep. What happens was, the father wasn't there. This was the perfect opportunity for the brothers to get rid of their brother that they hated so much. Apparently the brothers really hated Joseph that much to the point that they wanted him killed. Okay? How many of you nakaaway mo na kapatid mo? Don't raise your hands. But hindi pa naman siguro to the point that you wanted your brother, your sister dead. I know you want, sometimes you really wanted to hurt them, to get back on them, like, but to kill, that's to the highest level of hate, to murder someone. They wanted to kill him. Fortunately, the well na kung saan tinapon ni si Joseph, walang tubig. So he survives. Okay? And as they were about to leave him there, what happens? It's a long story. If I'm going to read all the verses to you, so I'm just telling you the short version. Some merchants who were traveling to Egypt were passing by. The brothers saw it and said, one of them said, hey, rather than leaving Joseph for dead and his blood will be on our hands, and we're going to be responsible for his death, we might as well make money out of him. Tinda natin si Joseph. So that's what they did. No? So, okay, they sold Joseph into slavery. Now, the next thing is, Joseph is sold to Potiphar, okay, and made to serve in his house, but the wife falsely accuses him of sleeping with her. Okay? Interesting turn of events. He gets to be bought by Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard, an officer in Pharaoh's army. He serves the household of Potiphar well, was promoted as the chief of the slaves. But apparently, the wife of Potiphar has her eyes on Joseph as well, tries to seduce Joseph, tries to tempt Joseph to sleep with her. Joseph refuses, and the wife falsely accuses him. And so what happens is he is thrown back in jail. No? He's back to square one, or probably even worse. Okay? Now, in jail, Joseph becomes the head of the prisoners due to his leadership and abilities, okay, and the favor of God. Okay? One day, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the most powerful man in the world during that time, dreams. And no one in the whole empire can interpret the dream of Pharaoh. Somebody told Pharaoh that there was a man in prison who could interpret dreams. Okay? Joseph was summoned. No? Pharaoh quickly calls Joseph and interprets his dream. After all the magicians have attempted and they fail. Okay? Joseph interprets the dream very accurately and impresses Pharaoh. The next thing you know, Pharaoh appoints Joseph prime minister over the whole of Egypt. Grabe. From prisoner to prime minister. What a jump. Right? Tama ba? Okay? From jail to now, the most powerful man in Egypt. Literally the most powerful man in the world. Second to Pharaoh. One day, his brothers comes to Egypt because there was a famine that was ravaging the land. There was a famine, tagutom, there was, I don't know, maybe a drought, there was no food. His brothers heard that in this nation, Egypt, there was food. They come to Egypt, they face Joseph, of course they didn't know that it was their brother. The dream is now fulfilled. The brothers bow down to the prime minister, not knowing this is their brother. He forgives his brothers who bow down before him as prime minister, and he saves Egypt from famine. That's the story. That's the short story of Joseph. Okay. One of the things I remember in math was this. What is the shortest distance between two points? A straight line. Right? Okay? A straight line, though, is the shortest distance between two points. And how I wish that in order to reach our dreams, all we have to go through in life is follow a straight line. Can you put up the map once again, or the timeline of Joseph's life? Okay? No, if you think about it, Joseph was born. This is the dream. Okay, he could have just simply went straight to the dream. God could have just simply brought Joseph straight towards becoming the prime minister. But that is not the case. No, kadalasan hindi straight line yung road, yung daan patungo sa pangarap natin eh. What happens is we go through a lot of what? No? Mountains and valleys and bumps along the road. And why is that? It's because sometimes or most of the time, the dream is not just, okay? It's not just about a destination. It is also about who you are becoming. Ang concern kasi natin is to reach the dream. Concern din ni God yun. Pero more than just you reaching the dream, God is also concerned as to who you are becoming. Okay? And for us, no, to be able to reach those dreams, we have to go through what you call tests. Okay? Now, question. How do you usually react when you are about to take a test? Probably that is one of the one of the worst things that a student will ever face. No? Or I have yet to meet a person, estudyante, na nung nag-announce ang teacher ng test, pumalakpak siya. Right? If there is probably one thing that how we wish we don't have to go through, it is what you call test. And maybe you thought that when you finally graduated from the university, from college or high school or whatever, you probably thought to yourself, finally, tests are over. Well, how do you know? How many of you know that that is not true? That in life, we will forever be facing tests. Okay? Pero yun nga, kadalasan, we have a negative way at looking at tests. We try to avoid tests. But, hey, just a couple of things about tests. Tests are here to stay. Sabi mo sa katabi mo, whether you like it or not, you will be tested. Tama ba? Every day, we will be tested. There's going to be tests and trials that we're going to face in life. When you try to reach for your dreams, you will be tested. No? Whatever word or dream you have received from God, it may be so much fun when you received it, but not anymore when you're being tested by it. Okay? What do we have to go through in order to get to our dreams? The answer is test, 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 and some more tests. And you're thinking, what are tests and what are they for? No? Tests are to test and prove. No? It's meant to prove us. It means to refine us. Okay? Just a couple of things before I go to my main point. Okay? My wife was sharing this with me, and actually when she tried to research the word test in the Hebrew language from which our Bible, the Old Testament Bible, was derived from, the word test is translated the Hebrew word charab. Okay. Interesting. I think right now we have to renew our minds as to how to approach the test that we experience in life. Na pag meron kang kinakaharap na pagsubok, may trial, may test, palagi mong tatandaan, charap. Tama ba? Tama ba? Kasi yun nga, we dread the idea of test. Okay? But then in the Hebrew translation, of course, charap means to refine you, to prove you, to test you. But then, it's amazing how in the Filipino language, the word charap means Shut up. Right? Eh? And it helps us renew our minds that when we approach tests, when we go through tests, no? Sabihin mo, charap ng buhay ko ngayon. Tama ba? Eh? Sino man charap ang buhay ngayon? Eh? Sino maraming dinadaan ng charap? Eh? We're gonna go through tests. Because that is God's pathway for us to reach our dreams. Okay? Three things that will test our character. Okay? I just want to enumerate it for you. Temptations, pain, power. Temptations, pain, and power. As we look into the life of Joseph, as we examine his life, you'll be amazed at how this man went through all this major test in his life, in his character, and prove himself victorious. Thus, he was able to reach his dream. Thus, he was able to fulfill God's plan and God's destiny for him. Okay? First, principles to remember in your seasons of test. The grounding of belief in a season of temptation. The grounding of belief in a season of temptation. Let's face it. Every one of us will experience or is experiencing temptation. Can I tell you something? I've been 28 years as a believer, as a Christian. I gave my life to the Lord when I was just 17 years old. I was studying in UP Los Baños at that time. And you know what? My life was radically changed. The Lord transformed me to a totally new person. Okay? I used to be, I used to be insecure. I used to be bondage to lust. I was bitter. But the Lord started to transform my character, renewed my mind. Okay? And it's been 28 years. Okay? 20 years of that, I've been faithfully serving as a pastor in church. Now, how I wish I can tell you today that after 28 years and 20 years of being a pastor, I no longer experience temptation. Wala yan, temptation. But I'll be honest with you. Even after 28 years of serving God and loving God, temptation is as real to me today as it was real to me as when I first gave my life to the Lord. You will be tempted. But don't fret. Okay? Huwag kang matakot. No? I'm just telling this to you so that you don't feel na parang you're the only ones going through this stuff. Na ikaw lang ang natutukso. Okay? Jesus Christ, no? Sabi sa Bible, no? This is one of the best things about having Jesus as our Savior. As why? Because sabi sa Bible, He was tempted in every way, human. In other words, the things that you went through as a human being, saan ka natutukso? Natukso din si Jesus doon. Pero sabi doon, yet without sin. Are you there? Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, human. Okay? But then, He was able to overcome it, not because He was God, but because He proved that as a human being, you can actually overcome temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you there? Okay? Every one of us will be tempted. Okay? The thing is, how do we go through the temptation? Temptation is one of those seasons in life when you're being tempted that our character, our faith, our belief would really be tested. Dito mo papatunayan, no, kung talagang yung pananampalataya mo ay nakaangkla sa Panginoong Jesus, yung paniniwala mo, ito totoong paniniwala. Okay? This is one of the things that Joseph had to face. Okay? Remember in the story, after he was sold into slavery, now he was a slave in Pharaoh, in Potiphar's house. Okay? Potiphar was a captain of the guard. He was an officer in Pharaoh's army. And for those of you who are familiar with the military, with the army, every now and then, especially when you're, when you're a soldier, you're assigned to places, right? And sometimes you don't get to bring your family with you. Okay? Now, si Joseph, amazingly, despite the trauma of what his brothers did to him, he was able to do excellently as a slave in the house of Pharaoh, in the house of Potiphar. No, sabi doon whatever was assigned to him, he did amazing. You know, his work was excellent to the point that Potiphar noticed him. And as a result, he was promoted to become chief of the slaves. Wow! Okay? Joseph was not just anymore a slave. He was now chief of all the slaves. Apparently, this guy Potiphar, he had a huge household. He probably had lots of servants working for him. No, there was one in charge of his garden, one in charge of the master's bedroom or the living room, or maybe Potiphar had farms or horses or animals to take care. And apparently, see, Joseph proves himself good in those areas that Potiphar was elated. He was so happy with the performance of this slave that he has just bought. And he realized this man can be trusted. So guess what? Literally, he entrusts Joseph everything in his household. Galing, ano? And just when you think Joseph was on his way, no, this was Joseph's first ever promotion. You can imagine he was on his way. Yun nga eh, to being one day a person. Maybe that dream was still shady. It wasn't really that clear. All he knew that one day his brothers would bow down to him. How it's gonna be, where it's gonna happen, he doesn't know. But when he got promoted, maybe he's thinking, who knows? There might be good something going on here. But just as he was promoted, just as he was noticed by Potiphar, somebody else in the household took notice of Joseph. It was what? The wife. Alam niyo, sa Egypt, mainit eh. Middle Eastern country. Eh? Desert place. And I'm imagining, and if you've probably seen it in the movies, no? The way Egyptian guys would dress, kadalasan walang pantaas yan eh. No? Eh, just a skirt around their waist. Eh? And that's just how about they clothed during those days. Now, I'm thinking, no, habang si Joseph was probably cleaning the rooms, maybe he was trying to scrub or mop the floor or something. Eh, nagbubunot siya. Uso na kaya bunot noon? Hindi yata uso bunot ngayon eh. Some people, I think, don't even know what that is anyway. So, itong si Joseph, he was cleaning up the rooms and syempre, pawis, no? One day, lumapit yung wife. Sabi ng wife, "Wow, Joe. Ang kintab ng sahig. Kasing kintab ng katawa mo." And you go to the verse, no? Sabi dyan, I think we have it. Okay? Can you put it up? Okay. In fact, there were a lot of things going in for Joseph. Look at verse 6. "Now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance." Okay? How I wish this verse was talking about me. In appearance, yes, but in form, I don't think so. Okay? So Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. "And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.'" Ibig sabihin na lie with me. Hindi ibig sabihin niya magsinungaling tayo. Some of you are like, no. He was, in another translation, if you could put it up, please. No, sabi doon, okay, sleep with me. In other words, have sex with me. Okay. The wife of Potiphar was, now this went on, I don't know for how long, probably every single day, no, the wife of Potiphar would try to advance upon Joseph, would seduce Joseph, but every now and then, Joseph would refuse. Look at verse 39, at chapter 39, verse 8. No, basahin natin. 1, 2, 3, go. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in this house. Sabi niya, ma'am, pasensya na ho. Okay? You need to understand, because of me, si Sir, no, has no concern. In other words, no, wala siya iniintindi dito sa bahay. Okay? He has no concern about anything in the house. And say, ma'am, no, he has put your husband has put me in charge of everything he has. Okay? Next. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you. Of course naman. Bakit? Asawa siya. Because you are his wife. Let's pause there for a while. In other words, Joseph resisted. Right? Now, I don't know if Joseph tried to, yung first attempt pa lang nung wife ni Potiphar sa kanya. It would have seemed that the most likely thing to do was to give in to the temptation. Why? Just a couple of things, just facts. Joseph was unattached. He was single. Right? No one would get mad. No one would get jealous. Nobody would be hurt or be brokenhearted if he ever had a relationship with Potiphar's wife. Tama ba? He was handsome. The wife was beautiful. Okay? Not only that, it was not even him who was taking an advancement. It was the wife. The most likely thing to do. Hey, honestly, I'm picturing the wife as, you know, highly sophisticated, beautiful. Remember, the wife was, you know, this woman was the wife of the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. Okay? I don't think that, no, this man, being in a high position, would have probably gotten an ugly person to be his wife. This, we can assume that this lady here, tong babaeng ito, was pretty, was beautiful. Kaya nga, to put it bluntly, nakakatukso. Bakit? Natukso ka na ba sa pangit? Pwede, no? Natukso ang patayin. Pero hindi do not understand. Some, no? A fact about temptation, all temptation is beautiful. At least at the outward, at least when it presents itself to you, walang temptation na hindi nakakahikayat. Walang temptation na pangit. Kaya nga siya nakakatukso kasi attractive siya. Tama ba? No? John Bloom, just to help us better understand what temptation is, John Bloom, who is a contributor in DesiringGod.com, talks about what temptation is. Okay? Sabi niya, and let me read it, this to you. No? Sabi niya, okay, we could read it together. Temptation, sige, let's read this. Temptation is a disorienting, defiling experience when evil is presented to us as good. That's why it's so tempting. Because something bad is presented to you as something good. Because if it's outrightly bad, then you won't be tempted. Tama ba? Why is drugs? Think about this. Everyone knows that drugs can destroy. But apparently, okay, the reason it is tempting is because when you try it, it actually gives you a good feeling. Eh? You experience nga this high. No, sabi dito, destruction comes dressed up to look like happiness. And that's what drugs offer. That's what alcohol offers. No, yun nga, pag uminom ka and you experience this level of happiness and high, eh? It's made to look like happiness. Sin only occurs when we believe that destructive life can actually grant happiness. Listen, okay? Yung temptation, hindi pa yan sin. Kailan ito nagiging kasalanan? No? Can you put it up again, please? Okay. Sabi dyan, it only occurs, sin occurs, when we believe the destructive life can actually bring us happiness. One key to resisting temptation is learning to recognize what I call a mirage moment. This is John Bloom. Sabi niya, if you are to overcome temptation, if you are to resist temptation, you need to understand that, no, you need to recognize na itong temptation to is just a mirage. How many of you know what a mirage is? Okay? Any one of you have encountered that word mirage? No? Okay, I'm not talking about yung si Transformers. You know. There's one of the cars in Transformers is named Mirage. Anyway, Mirage is actually a hallucination that parched people sometimes experience in a desert. We're not much familiar with a mirage kasi we don't live in a desert. Okay? Ano nangyayari? Pag ang isang tao, uhaw na uhaw, naglalakbay siya sa isang disyerto, tuyong tuyo. Okay? No? The desire, the intense desire for water, okay, starts to create delusions and hallucinations in his mind. No? A real desire for water and the shimmering heat of the sand play disorienting games with the mind and the emotions. A refreshing oasis seems to appear in a distance, promising happiness to quench the desire. Dahil nga, ito nangyayari. Nangyayari daw ito sa mga tao na, for example, yun nga, naligaw sa disyerto, sobrang init ang araw, tirik na tirik. And sa disyerto, wala kang ibang hangad, kundi tubig. No, sun is so hot. Okay? Uhaw na uhaw ka, and how you wish you had water. But then, after a while, because you're dehydrated already, no, your mind starts to play tricks on you. You become deceived. Okay? You begin to imagine from a distance yung tinatawag na oasis. Ano ibig sabihin na oasis? This is a pool of water in the middle of a desert. No? And sabi dito, okay, a refreshing oasis seems to appear in a distance promising the happiness of a quenched thirst. Can you put up the picture of a mirage? Okay, put it up. Yan, a mirage moment. No? Desierto, pero in a distance, you actually look at it, it's like, wow, water! Now I've seen this. No, if you've watched some movies or cartoons, I'm not sure whether it's. I remember when I was a kid. No, I used to watch a lot of Bugs Bunny, and I think there's one of those Bugs Bunny episodes when they were in the middle of the desert and they see a mirage and like, water, and wala naman talaga. No, puro buhangin. No. Pero yun nga, dahil sobrang desperate ka, nalilin lang yung pag-iisip mo. Okay? Now, a thirsty person might know that no oasis has previously existed in that location. Okay? Alam niya naman, wala. But his desire to be happy, fueled by the hope that this time, he might just find happiness there. Or at least a relief from the misery, tempts him to believe in the vision. He knows it's not there. Eh? Alam niya wala. But then in his desire to be happy, fueled by the hope that it might just be there, that he might find happiness there, no, he tempts to believe that it is true. If he yields, he discovers his hope was hopeless and his desire dashed because the oasis was a sham. In other words, he was just deceived. Eh? In temptation, the mirage moment occurs as we are tempted by a vision promising us happiness. Some simmering oasis of promised joy and relief from despair appears where God said it shouldn't be. Okay? example. I'm thinking like, okay, just to make us realize this. Because of a desire. Now, one of the things every one of us desire is love and be loved. Right? Tama ba? Ayaw niya admit. And there's nothing wrong with that. God created us, designed us. No, for that reason, we need to experience His love, and we need to experience what it means to love and be loved. Okay? Like for example, and so what is the most natural thing for people to do? They enter a relationship, they get married. Okay? And so, but the thing is, habang nandun ka sa relationship, sa marriage na yon, you experience problems. Things come up and you start to have fights or conflicts. You now have disagreements with your husband or your wife. And you're not feeling love or you're not feeling in love anymore. But you still want it. You still desire it. But the problem is now you cannot find it in the relationship that you have with your husband or your wife or with your present boyfriend or girlfriend. And just when you're going through that conflict, that this relationship is not, no, it's not, what's this? Fulfilling that desire. All of a sudden, okay, nakachat mo yung ex mo. And now you entertain the possibility that maybe you can find that happiness here. No? It promises a happiness. But clearly, God, no, has put parameters that show that there's no happiness there. But since you wanted it so badly, you wanted to experience this love or that happiness so badly, you start to believe otherwise. You start to believe on a false promise. Or maybe, since most of you are not married, no? Bakit meron tayong mga kaibigan o nangyayari sa buhay natin na, yun nga eh, you hop from one relationship to another in the hopes of what? In the hopes of, okay, no, believing that this relationship is gonna be different from the past. Mirage. Are you there? You so badly wanna believe that this is finally gonna give you happiness when clearly, okay, God has placed parameters, no, that it should not, it cannot. Okay? Drugs, alcohol, why do we engage into that? Because yun nga, it gives us a false promise that that all your problems are going to be taken care of, that at least for a moment, you get to forget your misery. You drown yourself. You drown your problems, while being intoxicated with alcohol. Are you there? Okay. That's what you call a mirage moment. This is one of the most oldest tricks of the devil. And that's why it's so important for us to identify. Kasi kung alam mong, teka, no, this is not true. Okay. Then, it's easier for you when you recognize something na isang panloloko, then automatically like wait, di ba? But the problem is yun nga eh, you don't get to recognize it. Why? The Bible talks about how deceitful our heart is. In Jeremiah sabi doon, the heart is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked, who can know it? Sa Tagalog sabi, sadyang no, ang puso ng tao mapanlinlang. You know, it's one thing na lukuhin ka ng ibang tao.
It's another lukuhin ka ng sarili mo.
Are you there? Eh? Now, check this out. It's one of the oldest tricks of the devil. This is what the devil actually did in Genesis when he first tried to tempt Eve in the garden. Eh? The most notorious mirage moment in history is recorded in Genesis chapter 3. It illustrates a pattern consistent in all temptations that we face. No? So if we can learn from Eve's failure, eh, then we have a better chance of able to resist the temptation because it is a common pattern. Tingnan natin, ha? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. No? The satanic, no? Serpent, no? The serpent, Satan, went in the form of a serpent. Eh? He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Eh? Eve's response. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Eh? Go. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, eto na, the mirage moment, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now, okay, when did the mirage happen? Okay, you need to understand, that tree was there all along. Adam and Eve pass about the tree probably several times a day. But take note, they were never tempted of it. It was just there. Okay. Ano nga ba yung mirage, no? Okay. Here's what happened. Okay. Nung serpent, okay, "You will not surely die. Ano naman masama sa chat?" Hello? Titikman mo lang naman eh. Di ka naman siguro maging addict kung isang puff lang naman. Besides, all your friends are doing it. You wanna be cool? You wanna be accepted with the group? Try it out. Wala namang mangyayari. Tutulog lang naman kayo sa isang kwarto. Pwede ka namang sumigaw. Okay. Sabi dito ng Satan, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Okay? So when the woman saw, take note of that. When the woman saw, there it is. Mirage. Eve saw something he hasn't seen before. Did you get it? Eve has been seeing that tree, but she was never tempted. But now she is tempted because she saw something that she has never seen before. What did she saw? Sabi, she finally started to think that it was good. No, it was never good. Di ba sabi ng Lord, the moment you eat of that tree, you're gonna die. It was never good. But then now he entertains the lie. Actually, it does look good. Cute naman siya. It was a delight to the eyes. And the tree was, was to be desired to make one wise. Eve was experiencing a defilement of temptation. She was being told something very different about the tree from what God told her. Okay? And so the tree suddenly looked different to her and she felt different about it. God created Eve and all of us so that that meaning of her sensory impressions was shaped by what she believed to be true. Satan knew this. He knew that if he could change the meaning of the tree for Eve from curse to death, okay, if he could change, Satan knew this. If he could change the meaning of a tree, the tree was a curse. The tree was, it meant death. But now say, it's not really that bad. Okay? When adultery, which you actually know to be wrong, starts to change its meaning, it's not really adultery. It's true love. Yeah. It's not really premarital sex. It's true love. Hello. Mirage. Satan manipulated Eve's God-given desire to be happy and used it against her. He enticed her to corrupt this holy desire by pursuing it outside of God, and Eve indeed fell for it, which corrupted her desire by believing the mirage, which furthermore gave birth to sin. Okay? That was how Satan tricked Eve into temptation. Now, if there are Eves, praise God, there are Josephs. Okay? It does not always end up like that. Okay? Joseph, now, balikan natin yung kwento ni Joseph. Joseph could have rationalized, you know what? This could actually serve me well. Okay? He could have started to entertain the idea, putal naman, pinamahala na sa akin lahat eh. Why not as well? No, dip in, eh, to my master's wife. Why not as well take advantage of the position? Besides, it's not even me wanting her. She wanted me. Are you there? Saka, probably, now, check this out. He could have thought, if I resist this lady, knowing her character, it seems that this girl, ito yung mga klase kontrabida na papanood nyo sa mga telenovela. Eh. The kind of woman that, no, beautiful pero maldita, gets everything she wants. And if you resist her, you're damned. Okay? If you even try to reject her, you're damned. It is not really a good idea to resist to this kind of lady. Okay? She will eventually get her way. She will manipulate her way into things. And Joseph could have thought about that. Na resisting this girl might even get me into trouble. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. Diba? When Joseph resisted the girl, when she resisted the wife, no? It would have been an amazing story if, because of Joseph's faithfulness, he was not only promoted as chief of the slave, he was now promoted as one of the officials of Pharaoh. Wow! It actually got him into trouble. But how was Joseph able to resist? You go back to the verse again. Can you put that verse again? No, not that one in Genesis, no. Okay. The story of Joseph resisting. Sabi niya doon, how can I do this sin? Okay. Against God. Okay. Sabi niya, it was not just about being loyal to the master. There was a higher sense of morality. That was basically, no, grounding Joseph, okay, in the season of temptation. It was what? Sabi niya dito, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin? He didn't say, and sins against my master. Sorry, I cannot do that. Your husband has been so good to me. No, there's no way I'm gonna take advantage of the favor and the privilege that your husband gave to me. I don't want to sin against your husband. Besides, if I do this, I might even be kicked out of your house if he finds out. No, he didn't resist because he didn't want. Can I tell you something? It is impressive that Joseph was able to resist such a temptation. But it is more impressive the reason why he resisted. It's one thing that this man, Joseph, resisted the temptation. And you might think, wow, that's impressive. But it is not that he resisted, but it is in the reason why he resisted. Why did he resist? He never forgot that he was there, not just a slave, but a servant of the Most High God. In the midst of the temptation, Joseph understood that God was there and he represented God. It's not even because he didn't like the wife. He didn't like the girl. You know what? He probably did. He probably did. But what was impressive was to resist it because he knew that there was something greater, greater than the wife, greater than Potiphar. He was serving a holy God. Can I tell you something? If you're tempted to do something, the moment you put God into a picture, tapos ang lahat. Hello? Yung natutukso kang magmura. And then sabihin mo, Christian ako. Tapos. Right? Hindi dahil sa ayaw mo magmura. In fact, yun nga eh. Gusto mo. Gusto mong makipag-away. Gusto mong magigante. Gusto mong magwala. Gusto, di ba? Gusto mong, ano mo nakakatukso? Matulog? Yan, nakakatukso yun. Malaking tukso yun. Gusto mong matulog, pero naalala mo, teka, Christian ako. Dapat nakikinig ako kay pastor. Eh, sa tinutulugan ko siya. Tama? Tama? Okay? Eh? Ravi Zacharias quoted his friend Edmund Chan, sabi, when in doubt, don't. If there's any situation in your life whereby you are doubting, is this even right? Totoo ba to? Di ako sure. Pag may pagdududa, wag! Tama ba? Okay? In fact, if you know, the more you reason with temptation, the more you rationalize. That is what Eve, no, that is where Eve failed. She started to rationalize. She started to what? Reason with the idea. Kung ano, it's not really that bad after all. In fact, it looks good. It's to be desired. Are you there? Amen? The grounding of a faith in a season of temptation. Okay. Joseph was able to resist the temptation simply because he said, I cannot break the law of God. When you say that, finish na. Right? Wala nang pag-uusapan. Finish na.
When you put God into the picture, finish na. Are you there? Okay. So mga mag-boyfriend, mag-girlfriend,
tutukso kayo, may gawin.
Lagay mo si God doon. Finish na lang.
Diba? Tapos. Gusto mo, no? Exam. Sabihin na natin, hindi ka nakapag-aral. Natutukso ka mga opya. Imagine mo, kaklase mo si God. Finish na! Finish! Ay, God. Ano lang? Ilib ko na lang blank, ha? Tama?
The grounding of our faith in the midst of temptation. Number two. Not only did Joseph went through temptation, he suffered pain. Everyone is going to be tempted. But also everyone is going to experience pain. Pain has this way of completing us. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Okay. There's this amazing verse in Hebrews chapter 5 that gives us a good perspective about pain. Okay. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Okay, verse 8. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. This is amazing. Son though he was, in other words, though he was a son of God, you might think that being a son of God, there is nothing in him, okay? Nothing in him, no, that would constituent imperfection or incompleteness. Pero sabi dito, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Look at verse 9. And once made perfect. Pain, suffering, has this quality of refining us, completing us, making us perfect. Okay? Probably a good symbol of this is how gold is refined in fire. When you get gold from the side of a mountain, from rocks, no, it's not 24 karat gold. It's not the kind of gold that you see on jewelry. It's rough. No, it's no. In fact, kung wala kang mata to spot gold, you're probably gonna think of it as dirt, no? Kasama yan ang mga putik. So what do you do in order for you to produce 24 karat pure gold? Okay, there's a whole refining process, and probably no, the most important is when the goldsmith no brings the gold into fire. Okay? Bakit dinadarang sa apoy? Ba't dinadala sa apoy? Because it is at that point that all the other impurities, all the other elements get burnt in the fire. And the only thing that's gonna be left is pure gold. Hello? Tingnan mo nga yung katabi mo. Ginto pa ba o mukhang putik? Gusto mo maging ginto? Suffering has this peculiar way of refining and completing and making us perfect. Okay. Now, there's something amazing about what Joseph went through. The second principle is the guarantee of peace in a season of pain. Part of the test that we're going to face is pain. Pain has to do with emotions. And probably one of the hardest things that Joseph actually faced was the pain of rejection, the pain of betrayal. Now, you need to understand, it was not just some people. It wasn't just classmates who bullied Joseph and sold him into slavery. It was his very own brothers. Okay? Sometimes we read a story and we somehow skim through the pages without trying to picture what was really going on. Okay? Imagine Joseph, no? He was thrown into the well. And can you imagine, no? As he was there, okay, being left for dead, all throughout the hours that he was there, he was crying out, "Kuya! Wag naman! Kuya! Kuya Simeon! Kuya Ruben! Kuya Gad!" Hindi si Gad, may G-A-D. May pangalan, Kuya. Si Neptali, si lahat ng kuya, tinawag, "Kuya, please!" Wala. And after a while, napago na si Joseph, umiiyak na lang siya doon. No, finally, just when he thought he was being rescued, nilabas siya. Only to find out, no, he was not being rescued. He was just sold. The next thing he knew, he was in chains. He was in ropes, and he was being dragged by some unknown people. Sold by his what? His very own brothers. Okay. And you know why that is difficult? It's one thing when a stranger hurts you. It's totally different when somebody close to you, somebody that you love, somebody that you would trust, betrays you. Hello? Are you there? Yeah. Can you imagine the pain, the trauma, the emotional pain of him not being able to see his father anymore? No, of being in a foreign land as a slave. No friends. Right? There was no Facebook. There was no internet. There's no way to even ask for help. But it doesn't end there. This is not the first time and the only time he's experienced this pain. No. Joseph. Right. It's one thing to experience pain as a result of circumstances like what happened, like how his brother treated him. But it's another when you have done what is right. Now, remember when he was tempted by, okay, he was tempted by the wife of Potiphar? And sabi niya, "I cannot do that. How can I sin against my God? I'm not going to sin against my God." And how it would have been nice if that story ended nice. But the next thing you know, ano sabi doon? The woman was so mad, was so angry at Joseph. How, yun nga, maldita nga tong babaeng ito. "How dare you resist my beauty? You don't want me? Kung hindi rin lang kita makukuha, walang makakakuha, walang makikinabang sa katawan mo." Anong ginawa ng babae? No, kinuha niya yung saplot ni Joseph. Nung tumakbo si Joseph trying to resist the temptation, she started to cry out, "Rape! Ni-rape ako!" And what happened to Joseph? He was thrown into prison now. Pain. It's one thing to be betrayed by your brothers. It's another to feel betrayed by your God. Where was God in all this? Did he not do what is right? You know, just last week we experienced the Typhoon Ompong. Metro Manila was spared, but not so much some of the provinces in the north. One of the provinces that was greatly devastated was Baguio. And in the area, and I think Itugon, where there was a landslide, there was a church. Literally, they lost their whole worship team. You're thinking, God, where are you there? They were practicing for service. The landslide happened. Literally buried their whole worship team. The Lord does not take us out of the pain. He joins us in the pain. How I wish that Joseph would have been spared of the jail, but he was jailed. The Lord allowed it. I want you to understand something. Okay. I think it was Rick Warren who said this, no? One of the constant phrases that we see in Joseph's life. One of the things that we need to understand in the midst of the pain is the sovereignty of God in our trials. Real peace is possible in the midst of pain. There's not the type of fake smiley peace that we often try to manufacture so we look okay even if we are not. That's what you call facade. Real peace is possible when we understand that God is truly in control. Was Joseph jailed? Yes. Was he falsely accused? Yes. Was God still in control? Yes. God was still with Joseph. In fact, that's one of the constant phrases that we see in Joseph's narrative, is that the Lord was continually with Joseph. Joseph wasn't just theologizing. He had a real relationship with God amidst the pain. He knows God, and God knows him. God, listen to this, was a reality in his painful life. Okay? Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Then the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Okay? No, it seemed nice, the word, and he became a successful man. But you need to understand, he was a successful slave. It doesn't took the reality that he was still a slave. But in the midst of him being a slave in a foreign land, okay, God was with him. 39 verse 5, from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and in field. 39 verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Yes, he was in prison. But God was with him in prison. Amen. I'm trying to imagine the first night that Joseph had in that dark, cold cell. He was probably thinking, what did I do to deserve this? God, nasaan ka? But then he felt a peace that passes all human understanding. He should be sad. He should be angry. He should be ranting. He should be doubting. But for some unknown reason, while he was in tears, while he was experiencing the pain, while that prison was cold, there was a warmth that warmed his heart. Now, this is just my imagination. If probably Joseph was probably in this time, I could imagine him singing, "It doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting all my fears, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be in your promises to me." Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." Because God is sovereign and in control, we Christians can entrust all our difficulties to Him. Hey, listen to this. Peace is never found by denying pain and suffering. Peace is found in when we throw ourselves in the arms of God and say, "I am in pain and I don't know everything, yet I know you are good and this suffering has a purpose. I trust you." Let me repeat that. It's not in denying the pain. It's knowing them. Right? It's knowing and acknowledging it. "Lord, I don't know why, but I trust you." In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, the Message translation, "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray." Listen, I want you to read this verse with me. Can somebody come up? I'm almost done. 1 to 3, go. "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displays his worry at the center of your life." Okay. The guarantee of peace in a season of pain. And finally, 3. The generosity of his spirit in a season of power. The generosity of his spirit in the season of his power. Joseph faced temptation, he overcame. He experienced pain, but he trusted the Lord in the midst of the pain. But there's one other aspect in life that your characters, that each one of us will be tested with. Some people will be able to overcome pain. Some people will be able to resist temptation. But sometimes people fail in terms of handling power. Why? Power can be intoxicating. Okay? Sometimes maraming tao yun nga eh. They don't know how to handle success. After all that Joseph had been through, the pain, the temptation, finally, the thing that seemed impossible has now become possible. From prison, he now becomes prime minister of the most powerful empire at that time. He literally was the most powerful man in the world. Second to Pharaoh. What is power? I was reflecting about this last night. Power, ang tunay na kapangyarihan, is not, I wrote this down. Real power is when you're able to exercise restraint even when one has power to wield it. Real power is one when one is able to exercise restraint when one has the power to wield it. Let me give you probably the greatest example of a generosity of spirit in the time of, in a season of power. Jesus was on the cross. Remember that all the power of the universe was still available to him, being the Son of God. With one snap of a finger, no, he cannot just destroy half of the world. He can literally destroy the world and create another one. And probably, okay, I don't know, but one of the hardest things that he was going through in the cross, while being there, while choosing to be weak, and yet with so much power available to him, and yet, no, the thief on his left and people that have crucified him say, "Hindi ba? Hindi ba nagligtas ka ng iba? Bakit hindi mo iligtas ang sarili mo?" And you could have just like, "Oo nga, no? Why not?" And Jesus could have said, "You wanna die? Die." And all those people would have been dead, just like that. But you know what he said? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." "Father, forgive them." Sherry McAdams said the following. Sabi niya, "The only way to destroy the love for power," listen to this, "is the power of love." The only way to destroy the love for power is the power of love. Joseph was already powerful. One day, he recognized this man that have come into his kingdom looking for food was actually his brothers. It was a day of reckoning. It could have been a day of vengeance. Finally, now you're gonna taste what you made me face all throughout those years. Pagbabayaran niyo lahat. But at the end of Joseph's life, when his brothers feared him because of the power that he wielded, sabi niya doon sa mga kapatid niya, Genesis chapter 49, if I'm not mistaken, sabi niya, "Don't be afraid, my brothers, because what you have intended for evil, all this time, the Lord has intended it for good." Joseph represented God in the temptation. Though he was a slave, he resisted temptation. Joseph represented God when he was in pain. He could have lost his faith. He could have doubted God. He could have gotten angry at the world and at the God that he served. But even while in jail, he represented God well. finally, he was experiencing power. He knew he wasn't just a prime minister. More importantly, he was an ambassador of God. The generosity of his spirit in a season of power. Let's just stand up. Let's pray. Lord, just come before God. Come before God. Worship Him. Come to Him. Talk to Him. Maybe we were not good at facing temptations. Maybe for the most part of our lives, we gave in. Maybe we think we have failed. Maybe we were not good at handling pain. Maybe it made us angry. It released the beast in us. Or maybe we were not so good with the power that God has entrusted to us. But this afternoon, I want you to surrender everything to the Lord. Let the Lord form you. Form your character. This message is not a message to condemn, but a message to bring us closer to our dreams. Knowing that even in our unfaithfulness, even in our weakness, God is faithful. Lord, as we go through the tests in life, as we go to temptations and pain, even as we experience your power, I pray, Lord God, that we will never forget that we represent you. Lord, form us to be more like you. Make us to become more like Christ. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord our best clap. Come on, guys. Come on, give the Lord your best clap. Amen. Amen.